Finances by Kingdom Principles. Finances by Kingdom Principles. We know that the engrafted Word of God, that is the Word of God, which has become part of your core value system, the Word of God, which has been so integrated into your heart that it is the way you think, the way you believe, the way you speak, the way you live. That engrafted Word is the Word that determines how you react in a spontaneous manner, in a subconscious manner, in the time of crisis. When the Word of God is so much a part of your being that you react reflexively based on the Word of God, then that Word has been engrafted into your heart. Just as you engraft one tree onto another tree. And this morning, as I was taking a shower, I was thinking about something, and it suddenly dawned on me that what has been engrafted into my heart in the terms of healing is that when a challenge comes, almost always, the first thought that comes into my mind is, well, how did I open the door to the enemy? What did I do wrong? The thought is, wow, what did I eat? What did I drink? Did I hit my arm? I don't think in physical terms, in terms of what the problem is. I think in spiritual terms. That it has been so engrafted into my heart that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And that no weapon of the enemy shall by any means hurt me. And that no curse can attack me unless I give it an opening. Curse causeless cannot come to rest. It is so much a part of me that I'm walking around as a son of God, desiring to be under the anointing at all times, that my first thought always is, well, okay, let's find that door and close it. Not with a sense of guilt or condemnation, but with a sense of standing, being prepared to fight. I don't want any demonic influences in me and my life, or my home, or my church. I don't want any of that. So the first reaction is, let me get it out. The first reaction is, wow, you know, there is a swelling on a part of my body, and what's causing it? I really don't care too much what's causing it in the physical. Because everything in the physical is subject to change by actions in the spiritual. And we all need to grow to the point where our first reaction is spiritual. We are spiritual beings. We just happen to be living in this body for a purpose. And the purpose is not to enjoy the carnality of this world. That's far secondary. The purpose is to take back this earth, lead people to Jesus, and take back this kingdom of this earth for Jesus Christ. To prepare the way for the return of Jesus. And to do that, we need to be in these bodies. Because the bodies give us the legal right to have authority and dominion on earth. Frankly, you know, that's really the only reason why we have bodies. Is to have authority and dominion on earth. So that means that everything that goes on in your body is subject to spiritual forces. Primarily, your tongue, since all the issues of life come out through your tongue. In a similar manner, we all need not simply to arrive at that point, but to simply arrive at the point of this module today, which is that we live to give. If we are here in a body, not primarily to enjoy the carnal pleasures of the earth, but to fulfill the calling upon our life, to prepare the way for the return of Jesus, to plunder hell, to populate heaven, if those are the reasons, which all come down to one thing, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, if those are the reasons why we're on earth, then part of that reason is we're living to give. We're living to give away the gospel. And in giving away the gospel, turns out we give away everything there is. We are created in the image and likeness of our Father. He's a creative God. We are creative. He created with his tongue. We create with our tongue. He's a God of love, agape love, giving. We are children of agape love. We are supposed to be giving. I should imagine there shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't give. Frankly, there shouldn't be probably not an hour if we're interacting with people. We give love, we give friendship, we give smiles, we give a pat on the head, we give kindness, we give money, we give of our time, we give of ourselves, esteeming others greater than ourselves. So we sit quietly and listen while people have this excitement and talk about what's going on in their lives because they have a need to talk. And there is a place and a time to talk. Love is not just simply oozy, woozy, goozy, huggy, feeling things. That's part of love, if you know what I'm trying to say, in my own inimitable style. Okay? But love is a decision, and love is an action, and love is submission to the concept that we esteem others greater than ourselves. So when somebody comes up and there's something exciting, and they talk about it for an hour, love is sitting quietly and listening. Of course, if they do that every time you see them, it can wear a tan. But still, that's just greater love. If you only love those who are lovable, you haven't done very much. It's a good start. It's a good start to love the lovable. But the goal is to love the unlovable. So we have some things that we need to have engrafted in our heart. And one is the concept that we're living to give. And that's what this module is about. This module is saying that we are here, we live to give, and oh, by the way, we also give to live. There's some concepts in here which if you've never heard before, you should really study out the scriptures. That's why we have the scriptures in here. When I taught this last semester, which is the first time we taught it, I spent 2 days on this module. Today we're not going to spend 2 days on this module because most of you have heard it. And we are approaching it from a slightly different perspective. But for those of you who are new to graduate school, you really want to go over these scriptures and try to comprehend what I'm really trying to emphasize, which is that you're living to give. If you're not living in love, you're not living as a son of God. Because God is love. If you're not living in love, you're not being conformed to the image of His Son, because Jesus is love. If you're not giving, if you're not a giver, you're not walking in love. Agape love is giving. There are a lot of Christians who think, well, you know, I'm going to be a good Christian with my finances, and I'm going to tithe. And that's it. All they do is tithe. And they wonder why the significant blessings don't come to them, that comes to others. Yes, they'll have their needs met. They'll be protected. They'll have more stuff than they can store. But they won't have these wonderful blessings that seem to come in. You know, some time ago, we took up a special offering for Pastor Peter. And at least 2 people have received 100-fold return on their giving within a relatively short time of that. Maybe more than 2, but 2 have come and told me. They received 100-fold return on their giving. I think that those people are more in tune with living to give. Living to give is not saying once in a while I'm going to give because I want a large offering back. It's a step in the right direction. But living to give is understanding my life belongs to Jesus and He gave away everything He has, and so my goal is to copy Him. If we're going to be conformed to His image, we like to be conformed to the image of His power, of His holiness, of His glory, of being part of the church without spot or wrinkle. But a major part of His image to be conformed to is the image of giving. He is the giver. And so, that's what we're saying here today in this module. We love God because He first loved us. He gave Himself to us. We are commanded to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're commanded to love Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, our body. Well, if we're loving Him as agape love, that means we're giving to Him our spirit, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Since we are called to love Him with these, it means we are called to live to give. We live to give ourselves to Him. And how do we give ourselves to Him? We give ourselves to Him when we give ourselves in service to everybody. He would be chief, should be servant of all. If you give a cup of water to a stranger, you give them to Jesus. You visit the sick. Visit the ones in prison. Since we desire to live in the kingdom of God, which is founded on giving, we're also called to give to live. We live to give, but in order to have that which we give that which we want, because we live in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God works like a seed. You want something, you give it, it comes back to you. So the primary way we should see life is we are here to give. In order to give, we need to receive. In order to receive, we need to give in order to receive. So we sow, so we have more coming back that we can give. We live to give everything. We sow love, love comes back, we give more love. We sow money, money comes back, we give more money. If we're stuck on the concept that we tithe, and that's the end of it, we have to consider the fact that once we tithe, we are giving back to God what belongs to God. It belongs to God in such a real sense that God says, if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. And you're cursed. You know, Jericho was like a first fruit tithe, a first fruit offering. And it was devoted to God. The word uses accursed. The same word is translated as devoted. Elsewhere it's translated as devoted. So the tithe is devoted to God. And Jericho was, if you translate it as devoted, was devoted to God. Well, the tithe is devoted to God. But when you abuse the tithe, there's a curse. Jericho was devoted to God. But when you abuse Jericho, there's a curse. As we know that Achan did that. He abused the tithe. And what happened? He was put to death and his family and his animals. Let me tell you. People say tithing doesn't affect your health. Boy, I bet you Achan would object to that. Right? Dying is no way to stay healthy. Since we desire to live in the kingdom of God, which is founded on giving, we're also called to give to live. We can be successful in living to give and successful in giving to live only if we remain in the kingdom of God. If we get outside the kingdom of God, carnality will come upon us, attacks will come upon us, and we're going to be constrained in our giving and also in our receiving. So we want to stay in righteousness, peace, and joy. We want to be children of love. So what I'm trying to implant into my heart and the heart of each person here with this module is, first thing we should think of, why are we living? We're living to give. How do we live? We live by giving. We live to give, and we give to live. Whatever you want, you sow it. It's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you at times. See, if you look at where you are today, most people here, probably everybody, you're managing quite well. You can pay your bills. Money comes in. You have things to eat. There's nobody trying to kill you specifically. You know how to overcome most challenges. We're doing really fairly well. But the day will come when things are outside our control. things that are trying to harm us, damage us, kill us, that are outside our control. And those are the days in which these principles will come into play. That because you've been living to give and giving to live, that which you have given will come back in those days. The seed will grow up and come back in terms of protection, in terms of provision, in terms of healing, in terms of all the things you need. They'll come back when you need them. So these are all investments in the future. So remaining in the kingdom of God requires spiritual alignment. Our being in the kingdom of God requires our ongoing spiritual alignment under God. How do we remain aligned under God? There's different ways of looking at it. One is, God is first, the Bible is second, the Holy Spirit in us. What do I mean by that? Our first obedience is to God. We obey God through obeying His Word. And after you obey His Word long enough and study the Word, then you can start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and He'll guide you. Remaining in spiritual alignment by living with Jesus as our Lord all the time. Not just as Savior, but as Lordship, meaning He's the boss. He's El Jefe. When He says jump, you say, how high? Living with Jesus as Lord. That's something we all need to get better at, living with Him as Lord. Being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that will become more and more a major factor as we do the first two. As we study the Word, live by the Word, live with Jesus as Lord through the Word, then we start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly for the specific things that we do through the day. We're in alignment when we're living in agape love. Major component of that is giving. We're living to give. And of course, we live in alignment when we stay in the kingdom of God, which is joy, peace, and patience. Now, as you stay in alignment, you're part of different systems which also should be in alignment. You know, we interact with the system of mammon. For example, you may need your car fixed. And the Bible doesn't tell you specifically how to fix your car, although the Holy Spirit will if you ask Him. I mean, I have fixed several cars where multiple mechanics couldn't fix it. The dealer couldn't fix it. In fact, there's a gentleman listening to me right now. And before he got saved, his truck got fixed. Dealers couldn't fix it. Mechanics couldn't fix it. God gave me a schematic, electrical schematic of the vehicle. And I went out and fixed it in less than 5 minutes. Just popped in my head. I saw exactly what needed to be done. Took 5 minutes to find the right pieces. So, various alignments. So, staying in alignment. Let's say you go see a doctor. Well, you should start praying that if you're ever going to see a doctor, you want a Christian doctor. Because blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So you want your mechanic to be a believer. You want your gardener to be a believer. You want the clerk at the store to be a believer. You want your attorney and accountant to be believers. They don't happen by chance. You've got to pray for all these things. So you stay in alignment by following the Word. The New Testament church should be in alignment. For the most part, it's out of alignment. The New Testament church should be led by the Holy Spirit. Then under the Holy Spirit should be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and then the regular body of Christ. Most churches don't have these. Many churches don't believe in them. They think all these ministries disappeared when the last apostle died. Local assembly, living alignment in the local assembly. Pastor, then the fivefold ministers, the elders, the deacons, and then the members or attendees. And that alignment requires submission. You know, if I'm sitting there and the person up here with the mantle of authority says, stand up, I stand up. I may be doing something, but I interrupted and I stand up. Because the person up here is up here because I believe God wants him up here. And the Holy Spirit is going to use him. One of the areas in which I really have frequently missed it over the last year is being here on time. Service is supposed to start at 10 or 5 or whenever. I should be here at 10 or 5. And there are times when I have great difficulties in doing it. But I've been praying a lot, and I'm getting better and better. Relationships. Family alignment. You want your family to be blessed? You need to remain in family alignment. Family alignment is the father or the husband is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it's father or husband, then wife or mother, and then children. That's the alignment that God has set up. Now, what if your husband is not interested in God? He's either not saved or he's barely saved. You still have to be submissive to him, except in the areas where the scriptures tell you what to do. Let me tell you a progression that I have noticed over the years. In general, women seem to be more spiritual than men. These are my observations. It's not Bible. Women seem to be more spiritual than men. Women tend to get saved first, then the men get saved. And the women take off really loving the Lord and trying to do godly things, and the men come along slowly behind it. So it's very, very common in the body of Christ that the women are ahead of the men. What happens, though, for a few men is the few men, and I don't know what few is, what percentage, I'm just using the word relatively, few men really become on fire for God and very powerful. And they become solo to God. And they take over their role spiritually. I know I'm in some sensitive areas here, okay, so don't all start throwing stones at once. Okay? The men seem to become more committed and fire, more men, more average men, more men in the body of Christ who are strong believers, become more on fire for God at a higher level than the women. So the way I see it based on my experience is the women start off faster, but they hit a plateau. The men start off slower, but those who get up to that plateau of the women take off from that and go on further really, really fast. Now, the question is, let's take Adam and Eve. Here's a question I don't have an answer, but who is more committed to God? Well, we know Eve was deceived. And Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived meaning her understanding of God and what God was trying to do was not as clear as Adam's. That's why she was deceived. Adam, on the other hand, knew exactly what went wrong, but he chose to put his wife first. And many times when the spouse is going up and passing the wife, they will choose to put the wife first. They'd make the same mistake Adam did. I did the same thing with my wife. And God called us back out of the corporate world. So we had always been ministering, but we had finances coming in from the corporate world. And God said, that's the end of this. No more of this. You're going to be totally independent of finances from the corporate world. And that hadn't bothered me before, all the years as a Christian. But this time I had a wife. And I was brought up to believe I am the provider. I am the supporter. Man is the head of the household. And to me, head of the household means provider and supporter. And it really started challenging me. It was one of the biggest challenges I had in my entire Christian life. And finally, God solved it by asking me, can you heal your wife? And I said, no, I can't. You're the healer. Then it says, why do you think you are her provider? And that really set me free. So today, my wife is, I love her. I totally support her. But what happens to her is between her and God. No, that's a really... that's a really special place to be. In one sense, it's very liberating. In another sense, it's kind of scary. But we all came into the world alone. Yeah, people helped you. Most of us had a mother, right? Some of us had doctors and nurses. Okay? We came in alone. When a person goes out, they go out alone. Now, they may go alone with a lot of people around them who are all going out alone. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let us say a plane crashes with 200 people in it. In mass of 200, they all die. But each person made the trip on his own. On his or own. Suppose the rapture comes, then all the believers who are alive and remain are raptured. They all go up together. But each person is actually making that trip by themselves. Whether or not they make it is up to them. And that's the way it is for everybody in life. And consecration is realizing that. Because if we can't realize it and consecrate it, we're always going to be acting in fear. And fear is something you don't want in your life. Or idolatry. You know, one way of not consecrating somebody is fear that something's going to happen to them. The other way is valuing them so much, you constantly put them ahead of God and what God wants you to do. That's idolatry. So, relationships. A very common in the body of Christ, and I'm really sorry to say, is a Jezebel-Ahab relationship. Jezebel, who moved the clock? I did say I'm not going to spend 2 days on this, didn't I? Did we get a chance to edit? My word. Maybe we will end up spending 2 days on this. Very common in the body of Christ is this Jezebel Ahab set of demons. The Jezebel is a controlling demon. It's like a mind-controlled demon, but it wants to control others. The Ahab is a very submissive demon. No, just because the name is Jezebel doesn't mean that men can't have a Jezebel spirit. Men can be very controlling. But in the context of families, the Jezebel spirit I'm referring to in Christian families is very common to see the woman have a Jezebel spirit and the man having a submissive spirit. That's something every couple needs to be aware of. The Ahab spirit will go along with the Jezebel spirit. And it throws the family out of alignment and opens them up for all sorts of attack. The man is and should be the head of the household. The woman should be submissive except when the man is making a spiritual mistake. So just because it's really difficult. You know, you might say, well, suppose the man wants to go see a movie, and the movie, it's a movie, it's a secular thing, you know. Is it a spiritual mistake? Superficially, no. But the movie has a lot of sin in it. Maybe the wife is in her right to say, no, I don't want to go see that movie. But if you're going to dinner, it's that the wife doesn't feel like going to dinner, she would rather stay home, and the husband said, let's go to dinner. The wife should be submissive. Well, maybe I should do a series on Ahab, Jezebel, spirit, because it's very complex. Just try to be led by the Spirit of God. And remember, women and men should do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. Keep in mind, you should esteem others greater than yourself. So the Holy Spirit will not tell you to do something. These are all really, really difficult issues, okay? We esteem others greater than ourselves. But that doesn't mean that everything we say is going to make the person feel better. Everything we say should produce grace. And grace is God's help when they don't deserve it. Grace is speaking God's word. And sometimes God's word corrects and rebukes. So it's not that simple. You know, I'm thinking of Jesse Duplantis calling this woman War of Babylon. Okay? Did he miss God? I don't know. Sure takes that out of boldness that I don't have. I haven't got yet. Did it change her life? Who knows? Maybe it did. Maybe he missed God. Maybe he was not esteeming her feelings. Who knows? We just do the best we can. Am I rambling? These are just issues that are so important and so complex. So remember, wife, try to watch out for having a Jezebel spirit. And men, try to watch out for having an Ahab spirit. And remember, the wife is supposed to be submissive to the husband. I guess we're going to have a part two. So Lord, I cancel those words. I said we're not going to have part two. I tried not to have a part two, but we are going to have a part two.